So on this episode of the Leadersmith podcast, I'm back with my good friend Tim Prairie. We were talking about Jim Rohn. In a previous episode, we talked about his quotes about leadership. And in this episode of Notable Quotables, we're going to be talking about Jim Rohn on success. Stay with us.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so I'm back again with my good friend, Tim Prairie. If you didn't listen to the previous Notable Quotables episode where we were talking about Jim Rohn and leadership, I had him on because we were talking about something on Facebook in a thread, and he said, Jim Rohn, oh yeah, I love him. I was like, hey, I'm about to do a podcast episode about him. And he said, wow, I read like listened to everything that he said like four or five times. I'm like, wow, okay. So since Jim Rohn is dead and I can't bring him on, I have a Jim Rohn expert who has been over this ground again and again. And we're just going to talk about a number of Jim Rohn quotes and just kick them around and try to unpack them a little bit. So thanks for coming on the show, Tim.
Love it. Thanks for having me.
All right. So here's the first one. Work harder on yourself than you do on your job. What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. Man, again, like so many of these, they're just, the layers are like onions, right? It's like, you know, you could peel back layer after layer of that idea. But the simple idea there is when you become more in life, like, you know, he used to say, you're not a tree, right? Like you're not a tree. You can move, you can grow. The tree can only grow as high as a tree can grow, but you have the potential for all kinds of things. And when you become more, it not only helps your company, your business, your leadership, all the things, it helps you. And that, man, how do you even unpack that without talking for an hour, you know?
At first blush, I didn't like that because I was thinking like, hey, you're taken away from your job. No, not really, because if you become more, you actually are going to be much more valuable to your job. So and this is one that had a big shift on me in the way that I actually conduct myself. Right. Just working harder, not just on my job, but on me. How do I improve me so that I can be better at my job?
Yeah, the second part of that quote is he says, if you work harder at your job, you could make a living. But if you work harder on yourself, you can make a fortune.
Yeah.
Whether you're looking for that fortune financially or in other ways in your life, I think that's so true.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Here's another one. You are the average of five people you spend the most time with. What do you think of that?
Absolutely. No question about it. I think anybody that questions that hasn't really paid attention. You know, before I came to camp here, I used to be in construction, and the guys that I was working with, I worked with every single day, and we would leave the house. We would leave at 5 o'clock in the morning, be all working off. And there's no question that those guys influenced me. We'd start talking like each other, using expressions that guy used. Like, I never used that expression before. Now all of a sudden I'm using it. So make sure, look at the people that you're surrounding yourself with, because that's going to be a pretty good magnifying glass at where you're going in life.
Yeah. And so when a parent distrusts the kid's friend choices, right? Mm-hmm. The kid's often like, well, don't you trust me? Sure, I trust you. I don't trust them. And they're influencing you. So there's something there. Okay. Next one. I used to blame everything outside of me for my lack of progress until I found that my problem was inside. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Right.
It's that list of excuses, you know. Oh, it's the high taxes, that, you know, it's the way the government is set up. It's the, you know, as the earlier podcast we talked about, the blowing of the wind, right? That's the reason I'm not doing well. You can make excuses all day long. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you get anywhere. It's not going to, I can't do well because they can't pay me more. Well, okay.
Yeah, so
that philosophy and just not get anywhere with it.
Yeah, so. As we talked about, if you don't take responsibility, you're not getting anywhere. When you start taking personal responsibility for everything, things change. Okay, next one. I think this is the one that you quoted in the last one. I said, oh, you're going to steal my thunder. We just never got to this kind of thing. Don't wish it was easier. Wish you were
better.
That's right. Don't wish for less problems. Wish for more skills. Don't wish for less challenges. Wish for more wisdom. I just love that. Don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better. Go.
Yeah. Yeah. And in everything in life, whether that's your job, the people that you're working for, or the people that you're the boss of, or the sickness that's invaded your family, or the struggles you have at church, in all things in life, it's so easy to just be like, oh, I wish this burden were lifted off of me. Oh, I just wish I didn't have to deal with this. You know, wishing you didn't have to deal with it isn't going to help you. You still have to deal with it. So don't wish it was easier. It's not going to get easier. Like the winds are going to blow. And sure, maybe you'll have seasons of calmer times. Hopefully you'll have seasons of calmer times in your life. The seasons will come and go. The summer will be a little easier than the winter maybe. And then trusting that process that, yeah, in the middle of winter, it might be hard, but spring is coming. So don't wish the winter just went away. Mm-hmm. Figure out how to be better and face the winter. Figure out how to be stronger, how to carry those loads better yourself. Take responsibility for those things. Read the book.
And it's not going to change in a day. And that's right. That's a real kicker here. The next quote says, you cannot change your destination overnight, but you can change your direction overnight. And that's important, right? I mean, we want this instant gratification, instant change, instant whatever. Nothing valuable happens quickly. Like wisdom is a process. Leadership is a process. Right. Love is a process. All the things that matter, it takes time, but you can change your direction now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's right. When you look at where you're going, right? I said this to my wife, like, okay, we're going to go in this direction. We're gonna walk this way in life, whatever that might be. We're in this job. We're gonna walk this way. We're gonna do this thing now, until God changes our direction. Well, at some point, maybe we go, oh, this isn't the direction we want to go anymore. We could change direction instantly, but it doesn't mean we're gonna get to some final destination instantly either. It's gonna be a journey, and understanding that, I think, breeds patience with us. It breeds a contentment for that process and for that journey, not just wanting, you know, again, as I said earlier, I think it was in the last podcast, you know, if somebody drops $1 million in your lap, you better figure out how to be a millionaire real fast. And that's probably not good for you. For a lot of people, that would be a really terrible thing.
Yeah. You know, I think about that the same way. When I see a child actor, I grieve for him. I'm like, you know, or somebody that made it big when they're 20, heavens help you. If you made it big when you're 20, you don't have the capacity to handle it and you're going off the rails. Pastor Tom once told me something, and this was our pastor at the church that we grew up at home. I was, I think, 28 and in graduate school still. And I was talking about writing something. He said, you know, one of my professors in seminary once told me, you have no business writing anything until you're 30.
I love it.
And now at 47, now I think that's funny. But at that time, I was like, hey, you know, I have things to say. But
right,
in retrospect, my 30-year-old self looks at my 20-year-old self like, what an idiot. And my 40-year-old self looks at my 30-year-old self like, what an idiot.
Right, totally. You know what? But if you're in your 20s and you're watching this, keep a journal. Start keeping my journal right here. I keep it with me. Collect ideas, collect things, write your thoughts down, because when it does come time for you to write that book, if that time comes, you'll have a wealth of stuff and you're not trying to remember stuff that you learned 10 years ago or whatever.
And if you're in your 20s and you're listening to this, keep growing. If you're listening to this, you're growing. Keep at it, right? I read 100 books a year. Over time, that adds up, right? Keep going. There's a compounding effect. So for whatever that's worth, that leads us into the next one. Everyone must choose one of two pains. the discipline of pain or of regret. So if you don't do this, you're going to regret it. And you can have it easy now and hard later, or you can have it hard now, keep growing, and then you get it easy later. Add to that.
Yeah, man, that principle is so huge. We talked a little bit earlier about the wanting it now, right? Like, I just want to be comfortable right now. I just want to sit on my couch and watch Judge Judy and eat Fruit Loops, you know, because that's easy and comfortable. And where's that going to get you? Jim used to talk about how much a TV costs, right? He was talking to one of his friends. He said, "Oh, how much did that TV cost you?" And the guy said, "Oh, that TV was $400." And he goes, "Yeah." Jim's response was, "Yeah, but that TV is probably costing you $40,000 because your time is more valuable than your money." And that principle is so important. And people want immediate satisfaction. They want the thing now. They don't want to do the thing that's going to, they don't want to go through the pain. You can't go to the gym and look at a weight machine and get strong, right? If you want to get strong, you have to sit there and do the reps and break your muscles and hurt them and be sore. And then you start getting strong over time. It's I hope I don't steal thunder, but it's small disciplines practiced over time, right?
That's like the next one.
Boom.
So the next quote is success. Right. Success is nothing more than a few simple disciplines practiced every day. Bam, you got it.
Yes.
Keep going.
And then the continued part of that, and the, oh man, maybe you have it right there in front of you. I don't have it here, but the, what does he call it? The calamity of, is the opposite of that, is basically choosing the simple, choosing the easy over time. You know, you could choose an Oreo cookie or an apple, right? You can eat one Oreo cookie and you'll be all right. But if you keep choosing the Oreo cookie, it ain't going to be good for you over time, right? The walk around the block, it is going to be good for you. The sitting on your couch, it might be comfortable right now, but it's not going to get you anywhere. It's small disciplines practiced over time that get you somewhere.
Yeah.
And so many of those disciplines, you know, somebody used to say, I can't remember who it was. Somebody said this to me once, you know, an Olympian, you know, if you're in a running race in the Olympics, how much faster is the first place guy than the second place guy?
Oh,
it's usually like hundredths of a second, right? It's not this huge gap. And the same is true in life. Like, it's small disciplines that make the difference between getting there first or getting there last. You know, the guy that comes in last place at the Olympics is still a pretty fast guy. He just hasn't had faster than
we are. I can tell you that
100%. Yeah, but he hasn't had the same disciplines built. They haven't had the same disciplines built in their life for them to come in first.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something deep about that. As you were talking, it reminded me of Darren Hardy's the compound effect. Yeah, if you just keep doing the same thing day after day. And I read that two summers ago, and I was thinking, yeah, that's right. You know, and like I'm reading that, eating you know, a bunch of potato chips and whatever else, right? Now, so we hadn't seen each other in a long time, but I've had six kids now. So the oldest is 15, the youngest is 5. Kids just wear down your body. Like, you would not, I mean, you're just so tired.
All this white in our beards, my friend.
Yeah. I didn't have that before kids. Right. So I call these racing stripes.
That's
in my beard. And they just wear you down. And just these little choices that you make, like, so when my wife says, go to Taco Bell while she's pregnant and has cravings, and you know, you salute and you go. But then when you make a choice, right? Am I going to eat something too? And when I did, I was up at like 205. I'm now 156. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's where I am, because I made an intentional choice. Hey, I'm going to eat what makes me feel healthy, like makes me feel good, instead of what I've been eating. But that was an intentional choice. And that was an intentional choice that started last May, not this past May, but the May before that. And by January, I was down to what I am right now. Yeah. But it was that compounding of doing that, the simple discipline every day, that got me where I was trying to go to. And it was also that same compounding slower over time, over 10 years or so, that got me there incrementally the other direction. So that's exactly right. It's nothing more than a few simple disciplines practiced every day. And it works with money, it works with weight, it works with whatever. All right, I got to keep moving.
Okay.
Excuses are the nails used to build a house of failure.
Love that.
Isn't that good stuff? So
I don't even know what to say about that other than yeah, absolutely.
It's just so clearly so articulate, so like, yeah, I mean, if you want to fail, just keep pouring those excuses in. Absolutely. Okay.
He takes that a step further in some of his talks, Jim does, where he talks about excuses and things that maybe aren't even your fault, right? Like taking responsibility for things that maybe aren't even your fault, but not using them as excuses to like, or I didn't know. Like that's a great excuse, right? Like my 14-year-old son does that all the time, right? Colson, his name is Colson. Colson, why'd you? Well, I didn't know I shouldn't, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, like, okay, maybe you're a little less, you know, culpable or a little less guilty, but you still have to pay the consequences of that.
Yeah.
And those excuses, that's what they breed consequences.
And yep, absolutely. Okay, I got to move to the next one. Motivation alone is not enough. You have it. If you have an idiot and you motivate him, now you have a
motivated idiot.
There you go. I tell you all that this guy was, you know, he's an expert. He's been reading over this again and again. Yeah, a motivated idiot. That's not it. I can be motivated all day long, but until I actually do, nothing's changed.
Nah. And making, you know, here's a principle. So you talked about you lost some weight. I don't even know if you know this, but I lost a significant amount of weight as well. I was up to almost 300 pounds at one point. Mm-hmm. And I'm down to like 200 right now. And I would say for years, I'd say, okay, yeah, I got to lose weight. I need to lose weight. I want to lose weight. But then didn't do anything about it, right? Mm-hmm. I still kept making the decisions that was causing me to gain weight. And it wasn't until I made a real decision. Like, that's it. And Jim actually uses this as an analogy too. He talks about a car that is like keeps breaking down on you. And he's like, until the day comes when you take a shotgun to that car and you blow it to smithereens, I'm not going to drive that car for one more day. And you've made your decision. That's it. Like, I'm not going to have this body for one more. I'm going to make a decision to stop gorging myself on sugar or whatever it might be that's causing me to go in this direction. I'm going to do the thing that I need to do. Stop making excuses, stop blaming my this or that or whatever, and start walking towards and moving towards where I want to be.
So what caused the decision
for me? Oh, that's a good question, man. The pain, we talked about the pain of discipline, or the pain of what was that quote that we talked about earlier? The pain of
discipline or of regret. Yeah.
Regret later. I got to the point where I was paying the cost of that regret later. My health was failing. I was having kidney stones. I've had like 12 kidney stones or something crazy like that constantly. I just wasn't able to do the job that I knew I could do in things in life, and I got tired of being tired, and so I made a significant.
That's where I was too. At a certain point, I was just like, I feel so terrible, so lethargic, so whatever. I can't keep doing this. And when I finally, I'm just going to eat what makes me feel better.
Right, and you're gonna pay the cost.
Yep,
it's gonna the bill is gonna come. Right. One of my favorite poems is by Robert Service, is pay the bill. Right. Like it's all great until it comes time to pay the bill. And then things get real. And sometimes you can kick that can down the road for a long time. But either you're going to pay it one way or the other. So for me, for my health wise, and for me, it was actually more than that. I'll be, if I can be frank with you for a minute. I wasn't doing well in a lot of areas in my life. You know, my finances weren't doing well. My marriage was not doing great. My health wasn't doing good. Like, you know, even my spiritual life was struggling. And I kind of had to come to a place where it's like, I got to start paying attention to this stuff, mm-hmm. or things are not going to go well for me. Yep. And I took those four things, my spiritual life, my physical life, my relational life, and my financial life seriously, and started making some changes in all of those areas, not just in my health. And man, just the last 2 years, it's night and day difference.
Yeah. So when you were talking about making a decision, I'm going to nerd out on you for a moment, okay? Mm-hmm. And that is, decision comes from the Latin. Day means of, I mean off, like no longer, and cadere, which means to cut off. So you cut off making, I'm no longer going to do this. And it was cut. It wasn't just like, no, I think I would like to do that. And that's what we're talking about. Motivation isn't enough. You got to cut it off. And so that's just profound. You know, okay. I got to keep moving.
I'll keep moving.
It isn't what the book costs. It's what it'll cost you if you don't read it.
Yes, man. Love that. I was not a reader. So I was introduced to Jim, I think the same year he died, unfortunately. It was like 2009, 2010, somewhere in there. And a friend of mine gave me one of his audio things, and I just ate it up. I was like, this is great stuff. And I had heard other, like, something was different about Jim than like some of the other self-help guys out there. And I think that idea was one of those things. Like, he talked about a book called The Richest Man in Babylon, right? And and he says, you know, when I got the book Richest Man in Babylon, the same day I heard about it. And I was like, huh, you know. And I challenged myself to read 10 pages of a book every day. That many years ago. And you know, and I still do that. And to this
and
day.
Over time it adds up. I mean, it's amazing how that happens, huh?
Yeah, for sure. And people, you know, yeah, it's not the cost of the book that matters. It's what it's going to cost you if you don't read the book. And man, if you're listening to this and you're not a reader and you need some good books to read, I'm not sure if Darren has a good suggested reading list on his website or whatever.
Come look at my library.
I'll fill your library up with books. Man, so much good stuff that's been written out there, and leadership principles and philosophy. I mean, I'll geek out all day on that. But the value that books can bring to your life, and you know, there's a lot of bad books out there too, so be careful. But yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, there a very clear shot group tends to form where multiple people are saying, yeah, this is good, this is good, this is good. But other than The Secret, I mean, that's pretty much a true story through most success books. The Secret, right, you can safely set aside. I read it. You don't need to. Leave it alone. Okay. Success is not to be pursued. It is to be attracted by the person you become. Speak to that.
Yeah. Somebody once said, I don't know if it was Jim actually, or somebody else, success leaves clues, right? Mm-hmm. And you can strive after whatever you have this idea in your head of what success is. And there's probably nothing wrong with working towards goals. Obviously there's nothing wrong with working towards goals that you have or whatever, but the better thing, and I think kind of what this quote speaks to, is becoming the person that your potential as a person can be. I said it before, you know, how tall can a tree grow? Like, a tree can only grow as tall as a tree can grow, right? Mm-hmm. Humans are the only thing, Jim used to say this, humans are the only living thing that can choose to not grow to our fullest potential, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we have our biological, like, I'm going to be as tall as I can get, and then that's it. Like, I can't change how tall I'm going to be. But I can change how much I'm going to grow as a person, and we will settle for not growing to our fullest potential. And that's sad. He used to use the word until, like, how long would you give the average baby to learn how to walk? How long would a mother give the average baby
Three tries, and then no more walking.
No, maybe walking isn't for you. You know, no, you do it until the kid can learn how to walk, right? You don't just stop them because they fail the first couple times. But as humans, we do that all the time. We try something and we fail at it, and then we just give up. Oh, that's not for me. I must not be very good at that. Instead of developing into the person that can be good at that, that can develop those skills.
Yeah, he really reframes our thinking with this kind of quote, because it's not about, like, if I get success, then I'll be the person. No, if you be the person, then you'll get the success. And the next quote related to that is, the ultimate reason for setting goals is to entice you to become the person it takes to achieve them. And, right. And with that, he says, another quote just related to it, become a millionaire, not for the $1 million, but for what it will make of you to achieve it.
Yes, yes, yes. You said the quote before, like, if you took all the money in the world and distributed evenly amongst all the people, eventually that money would find its way back into the same pockets, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not because, you know, why is that? Well, it's because those people have become valuable. They've grown to the place where they know how to, you know, do the thing, whatever that thing might be. And they've learned how to create success in their lives. So with that idea in mind, it's like understanding that who you are today, if you're the same person 6 months from now that you are today, what are you doing? You know, you need to be learning and growing and challenging yourself. And, you know, my wife and I, we talk all the time, and we have a coffee time every single morning. And my wife challenges me more than anybody else in my life. You know, and it's hard sometimes. It's like, back off a little bit. Let me, you know, but she pushes me to be a better man, to do things better and to, you know, and that's a beautiful thing. It would be so much easier to just, you know, sit on the couch and watch a dumb TV show and not do the thing that we need to do to become the leaders that we want, that we should be. Find the potential in our lives that we could, all those things. So find people in your life that will challenge you, that will push you, that will help you to grow and push you in that direction. When they say iron sharpens iron, you know, that's not a soft thing, right? That causes friction and tension. When iron sharpens iron, it's rough, it's hot, it's a pressure that causes that sharpness to come. And the same thing is true in life.
Yeah. So the next quote is, if you really want to do something, you'll find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse.
Mm-hmm. We talked about those excuses before, right? And even like with the weight loss thing, right? Like I could find excuses all day long to not, you know, I'm just going to go on a diet. No, okay.
Then starting next week.
In the back. Lose the weight, you're going to gain it. You're going to yo-yo diet. No, you have to make a decision to make a change in your life.
That's right. It has to be a mental shift. Like I calculate. I have an app on my phone that I keep track of whatever it is, because in doing that, I learned a lot about whether I was staying on track or not. And now it's fairly easy. I still track it just because I want to stay on track, but it's a lot easier now, and I'm not making excuses and go, "Oh, I didn't know." Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Ignorance isn't an excuse, you know. Ignorance is not an excuse, and that mountain of excuses that we make. I mean, we're all guilty of it on some level or another. We often choose the easy thing over the right thing. We often choose the path of least resistance, even when we know that the path of greater resistance will bring us further. We don't want to deal with that, so we just go the easy way.
Yeah, we all have the same hours in a day. Like, some people do have legitimate advantages, right? Yeah. But we all have the same amount of time in a day. He says this, there are only three colors. There are 10 digits. There are 7 notes. It's what you do with them that's important.
Yes.
Love that.
Love it. So good. So good. Yeah, those you know, those primary colors, you know, you give me a palette of primary colors, you know, I'll be lucky to draw you a happy face, you know, but you give that same palette to Picasso or to, you know, some creative genius, and man, they can make the most beautiful painting in the world. And well, why is that? Mm-hmm. Yep. I haven't put the time in. I haven't spent thousands of hours practicing art. And maybe some people are more gifted in an area just naturally, and that's great, but it doesn't give you an excuse to not do the thing. If you want to become a good painter, you got to spend the time painting. Doesn't, yep. You can become a musician, you got to spend the time practicing the thing. Doesn't matter that somebody else might be more naturally gifted than you. Good for them.
You got. You can do it too. You just got to have to do that daily discipline to get there. Okay. Our next question is, quote is, before I met Mr. Shove, this was Jim Rohn's mentor who kind of got him on this path. Before I met Mr. Shove, I used to ask, how much does it cost? But he taught me to ask, what is it worth? When I started to base my life on value instead of price, all kinds of good things began to happen.
Yes.
What's the difference between value and price?
Oh, you kind of the computer glitched there.
Okay, I said what's the difference between value and price?
The world of difference. Yeah. Right? So what's your time? What's the value of your time? That's a lot different than, you know, what you're like. You could say, well, the value of my time is $30 an hour because that's what I get paid for at work, right? Okay, so then is your time still that valuable when at night when you're sitting and watching TV for 4 hours? So, you know, did you just spend $30 an hour watching TV? Well, yeah, you did, you know, because if that's the value that you bring to the workplace, you know, you're taking that time. So, you know, he used to say time is more valuable than money, right? So what is value? What's the difference between cost and value? Right? Like, how much is that book we talked about before? The book. How much does that book cost? Oh, that's an expensive book. I don't know if I'm going to spend the money on that book. Well, what value are you going to get out of that book that you read that's going to add so much good to your life that cost will become insignificant over, you know, like, you know, or, you know, we talk about this a little bit. Vacation, right? You're going to go. I just came back from vacation with my family. Has anybody on their deathbed ever been like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have gone on that vacation with my family?
No. As you were talking, I was just thinking, you know, what's the value of that time that you spend with a kid where they ask a critical question and you can steer them the right direction? And like we think like, oh, it's just we get this idea from movies. Like it's in this heroic moment where you say this speech and something happens. No, it's when I'm driving her to the orthodontist and she has a question that's where something really amazing happens. Right. Yes. So it's a value of the time perpetually spent with them it's hard to quantify the value, but the value is different than price. They're not the same thing, and we have to understand that.
Yeah. How much are those golf clubs, you know, sitting in your garage you never use? How much do they cost you, right? You know, you paid your price for them, but now they've just become a taking up space in your garage kind of thing. And like, so on both sides of that pendulum, you got to ask what the cost is and what the value that thing is going to bring.
Okay, so last one I have, and this is just kind of a summary to everything that he's been saying. So any final thoughts, we'll close out with this because we're already pushing up toward a half hour here. I mean, that was fun. I really enjoy thinking through these things. Your level of success will seldom exceed your level of personal development. Now, he's been saying that in one way or another throughout all of this, but that's it. I mean, that if you could encapsulate Jim Rohn's message, your level of success will seldom exceed your level of personal development. Anything to add to that?
And if it does, you're probably going to lose it.
Wow. Right? Yeah, that's right. I mean, because you'll be Peter principled at that point. You won't be able to sustain it.
Right. He says seldom, you know, so it happens occasionally where that happens and then, but they lose it. You know, they go off the rails one way or another.
I find that most people are able to lead through the mundane times, but leadership really, the value of what, you know, you're paying that person to be in that leadership position is when you hit the rough waters. That is when it is important, because while it's calm, Publius Syrus said, anyone can hold the helm during the calm times.
Right. So, yeah. Again, what else is there to say about that? Like, it's almost self-explanatory on it. Like, it's so simple, yet so deep at the same time. But yeah. It's such a succinct, like, it's almost like, yeah, what else can I say about that? It's
but true. You know, but we didn't think about it that way. But for the longest time, at least myself, I thought about it like, if I could be successful, then I'll grow into that. No, it's the other way around. Yeah, you grow and yeah. then you become successful. So, yeah. Hey, you know, Tim, thanks so much for your time and sharing your expertise and background. If anybody wants to listen to Jim Rohn, you can just look him up, Jim Rohn on YouTube, and you can find hours and hours and hours of his lectures, his seminars, all out there. I mean, I don't even know what to tell you. If you're not willing to cash in on doing that, I'm not sure what. There's no magic pill. Learn from him, hear what he has to say, think about it, grow, develop, journal, like you said. But you can become more, and you have to become more if you're going to get to that next level. Last word I'll give to you.
Well, thanks for having me on. I think I love it. You know, when we started talking, it's been a minute since I've listened to Jim's stuff. And, you know, actually just yesterday, I like, oh, you know, I should turn some on again and listen to some Jim. It was like revisiting an old friend. So this has been a lot of fun to talk and to revisit an old friend.
With an old friend. Oh,
with you, yeah, that's what I was. Both you and with Jim's stuff, so good, so such a good reminder to myself, even as I'm on my journey, of some of these principles and these ideas and the virtues that Jim espoused. You know, and I love, you know, one thing, as if you're a listener here and you haven't listened to Jim, you'll hear him talk about, he doesn't consider himself an authority on the Bible at all, but he uses the Bible a lot, for leadership principles and principles of all this stuff that we're talking about. And I so appreciate that stuff that, we can walk and grow in all areas of our life, whether it be our spiritual life, our physical life, our emotional life, our financial life, whatever that might be. You're not a tree. You're a person created by a God who has given you potential to do all kinds of things. And you should take that seriously. Take the time that you have seriously and see what God will do with it.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And I hope for our listeners that helps you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow.